It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We go off and running for this 23rd day of June 2020. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. It's the best place to go for the live stream and the podcasting platform for people who listen, you know, other than the live hours of the program is bulletproof and, as Brother Deacon says, works 100% of the time. So head on over in either instance. And also at HeadOn.live, you'll find access to the chat room, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and around the great globe itself. Hi, I'm Bob. It is Trump-tanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday, the day in which we take note of manifestations of titanic intellect on the part of the white wing in this country, the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, perchers, booger eaters, maggots, libertarians, Trumpansies, Republicans, and as usual, there is no dearth of material with which to work this evening. Of course, every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different because the merry little band of about 1 in 100, 1 out of every 100 listeners to this program is how we manage to stay on the air. Because we don't have ads for floors made out of deforested Southeast Asian island nations or the wavy radios or, you know, all that, you know, the stupid beats or any of those things that get hustled in the for-profit, in the for-profit radio world. We just don't have them because most of them are absolute bullshit. And of all the purposes this program has served and can serve and will serve, none of them is going to be to deliver you to the tender mercies of companies selling shit in exchange for them giving us money. Because, see, that's the profit motive inside media. And, in fact, I've got a prime example of that here in a moment. But to the thanks first. Thank you very kindly to Uncle Smokey over on Patreon for jumping in. Thank you to our friends at Mellow Moonlit Meadow. Thank you to Stacy. Thank you to Reggie. And thank you to Philip in Maryland. Those are our PayPal subscribers for the 23rd day of any given month. Thank you so much. Thank you to Barbara and Libby for jumping in last night. And again, thank you to Dan and everybody who jumped in last night to get us off to a good start. The fundraising goal for this evening, thanks to folks jumping in like that, is around 235. $235, and we're finished. We're keeping even with the week. If we can somehow or another knock out, you know, if we could add an extra $400 to what we do to this week, we'd have 2 days of fundraising free radio to end the month of June next Monday and Tuesday, and wouldn't that be wonderful? And so anyway, $235, and we'll try to see what we can do to knock down a little bit more and give me the freedom of just doing the program without talking about this stuff quite so often. No, I said you know, delivering an audience into the tender mercies of someone trying to hustle some shit. There is no better example than what I saw this morning when I tuned in my filthy morning habit. I know. Don't send the emails, Bob, while you watch it. Bob, stop telling us what emails not to send you. Okay, done. I watch it because, well, there's nothing else on. It's that or a test pattern, because it's too early to immerse myself in film. I'm a little, not entirely much, but a little bit advanced for most of your children's programming. I can't always count on the Three Stooges to be on. And so I did nothing on ESPN. And so I default to my filthy morning habit. This was one of those days when the millionaire for whom the show is named decided not to show up for work. That's a sweet gig. You work maybe 3 days out of the week on a program that's 3 hours long, but they rebroadcast at least a half an hour of it. By the time all is said and done, probably nearly an hour of it is ads. And there's a whole bunch of other people to do your to talk to. And for that, you get a gajillion dollars, and you don't even have to show up for work every day. Man, that for-profit broadcast privilege is some kind of privilege. Oh, there it is. Okay. Off and running. Billable Rick. This is good. Bob, stop telling us that test patterns still exist on TV. Because they don't. But some of us can still remember them, those bygone days. Then, of course, there's Jeremy in Vermont. Bob, stop telling us how early is too early to watch test patterns on TV. From Vermont to Southern California, and the and the thought waves zip around at something greater than light speed, and bang, there we are. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Oh, we may have word from our youngest listener. I had a note from Arnold in PA. And my four-year-old likes your program and has been a challenge the last few days. Oh, dear. I'm not sure. Maybe four might be too young. But hi, Annie Rain. Hi. Don't use the words Uncle Bob uses. At least not the... Well, Daddy will tell you which one... You know, probably in real time... Daddy will tell you, don't use that word, and that word, and that word. You can use, you know, we build vocabulary here, and we use a lot of good words, but there's just some Uncle Bob uses that you shouldn't, okay? So just a little word of advice, but glad to have you, glad to know you're there. Thanks for the note, Arnold. I'm a little worried now. And it starts. Bob, stop telling us that Joe Scarborough doesn't have to show up for work every day. He needs to work on his golf game. If I thought he was working on his golf game, I'd feel better. But I suspect, as Agnes pointed out earlier today, he's actually in rehearsals with his boy band. You know, because everybody's got a side hustle there on that program. Mika's got her Know Your Value shtick. He's got his boy band. Reverend Al's got the National Action Network. I haven't figured out what Willie and Barnacle are pitching yet, but everybody's got a side hustle. Anyway, I don't think he's working on his golf game. Not at that hour. Granted, I used to get off work, about 6 a.m. off the midnight shift, and by 6:30 I'd be on the driving range, work on the short game a little bit, and then my patience would wear out, and I'd pull out the driver and start hitting banana balls. I could stand on the furthest left edge, and bring that thing in. It just looked like a banana in midair. And the only other way to not do that, to control it, was to go to the far right edge of the driving range, point right at the trees, whack it, and you're right in the middle of the fairway. It's kind of like a really, really bad analog to the Williams shift. Well, that's true. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out there is something on that time you can watch, Bob. You could be watching the Three Apes on the Couch, Fox and Fiends. Yeah, but usually I wake up before Agnes, and if she woke up in the middle of that, she'd just start screaming and probably try to smother me with a pillow or something. And it's not like you could blame her for it. Well, Agnes made the same observation. Todd says, Mika seemed irritated that the show's namesake was not at work today. There was a little sarcasm or a little snark, and Joe's not at work today. Anyway, that was not the purpose of this extent, but, I can't say my name in less than 15 minutes, so we understand. No, I was cruising along, and among other things, our buddy Angelo and I were engaged in a back and forth over the Electoral College. Angelo from up in the People's Republic of the Bronx. Yeah, there it is. Ron serving as the early Horn ad hoc research department. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, Joe makes $8 million a year and a net worth of $25 million. That's what you need to be doing, Bob. Yeah, and all for not working. Jesus, what a hustle. I mean, talk about good work if you can get it. Kyle says, sounds like you play golf about like me. I hit the ball so far right, I literally have to almost face left off the tee just to keep it in play. Yeah, that's it. One time I kind of got a hold of, I got my slice a little bit in control just by facing normally, addressing the ball normally down the, down the fairway, and just brutally closing the face of the driver so that then when it came down and made contact, it would have come open enough that it was actually flush. But there was no controlling that. Yeah, Megan wants to know what's my side hustle. I don't have one. I mean, I got hobbies. Hobbies are side hustles that don't pay, like barbecuing. I never should have mentioned my golf game. Hey Bob, your golf game sounds like your pool. Yeah, if you've ever seen that W.C. Field shtick with him with the curved pool cue, Yeah, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth a shit shooting pool either. Randy and PA reminding us that Twain said golf is a good walk spoiled. Yeah, but there's also something very zen about golf. But I was told to avoid it a few years ago when I had some problems with my spleen. Surgeon was afraid that in my backswing or my foreswing or my follow-through, I might make my spleen go pop. And so, no more golf. Yeah, just like they play it in Scotland, they pronounce it goff without the L. You're right, Kyle. Golf is hard. Hard on your wallet, hard on your soul. Because, you know, you play 18 holes. Even if you play scratch golf and there's 72 strokes, somewhere along the way, you're going to hit that, what I call the one heroin ball. Because it's perfect and there's not a golf pro in the country who could do it any better than you just did. And that's what brings you back. The slices, the lost in the woods, the worm burners, the floop in the water. And, you know, even if you can't see the water hazard from the tee, that telltale floop lets you know exactly where you are. Or fried egging it real good in a bunker. Or, you know, nothing more complicated than a righteous five putt. There's a reason. But, oh, they were some beautiful days. They were. Billable Rick says, I was hitting the ball pretty straight since I took up golf again last September. The last few times out, however, I've developed a duck hook. You know, the kind that stays low, short, and curves quickly left. But I did hit a 160-yard uphill approach shot within 1 foot of the hole for a birdie on Saturday. See, that's what I mean. The heroin ball. It doesn't have to be a 300-yard drive right down the throat of the fairway. Where you just sit there and stand in stunned amazement. It can be, you know, it can be a 160-yard hook shot that winds up an inch from the pin. And it will bring you back. Ha, 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 laugh the golf gods. Well, they've kind of dried up, Steve, in New York. Steve in New York's a side hustle. What about your sex clams royalties? You have to be able to get to them, and during the pandemic, there's been no sex clamming. Doggone it. And then while I was down in Alabama for that couple of months, they were out of season. Who knew that Alabama sex clams were only in season in months that don't have R's in them? See, May, June, July, and August, that's your Alabama sex clam season. And I'm just not there. Oh, well. I know. Oh, Kyle is a fellow sufferer. Five putt in the water off the tee, top the ball in the fairway. That's just the first hole. How did we go down this rabbit hole? You left out the chili dips and the yips and the, you know, that word that begins with S that no true golfer ever says aloud. It's like actors who say the Scottish play instead of that fellow's name that begins with M. It is to court disaster. Never should have mentioned it. And in point of fact, it's Billable Rick's fault. He's the one who said that Joe was out working on his golf game. And Billable Rick just can't let it go. But Bob, one hole after that birdie, which put me even par after three holes, my girlfriend called to ask where I was. I then scored a bunch of sevens. Yep. That's like bowling a spare. And then the next and then the next frame, you know, you put up a three. Well, they may be, but I'm not. The Rona keeps me from being there to find out. As to the sex clam, Steve in New York pointing out, I thought they were especially ripe in an election year when a Moore is running for office. Well, I mean, Roy Tola's not running for office anymore. Ah, see what I did there? Bob, stop blaming me for your program going off the rails. All right, Billable Rick. Jimmy noting, I love the game of golf, but my game and swing makes Sir Charles look like Calvin Peet. And now you're in trouble with Kyle. Damn it, Rick, look what you started. Maybe we better stop now. It's just gonna. It's not gonna get any better. Randy in PA says, my Shakespeare is so poor that if I think of the name of the Scottish play, there's no way I can think of the Danish one. That's... it's almost like we've been waiting for the program. All right, damn it. There was a point here somewhere. It, by the way, Silent R. Lamar reminding us, Alabama's always out of season. Human rights, sex clams, senators... The white rule is always in season. And I got a story along those lines in a minute, too. I've been awarded a cowbell for my more comment. Thank you, Bilbo Rick. All right, please, everybody, settle down. I feel like a substitute teacher here. Because you know how we all treated substitute teachers, right? Yeah, like that. Just get him going. He won't talk about anything that we're going to be tested on. Just get him talking about golf or something. Joe Scarborough, millionaires. Because we're in imminent peril of losing Flavio. Flavio says, "Shit, did I turn on the Golf Channel by mistake?" See how it is with these intellectual leftists. We can't talk about any of the things that we common hoi polloi enjoy. I was trying to explain to Agnes earlier today that, you know, Mika hates everything. She talks about how she's never seen more than, like, 3 movies. You know, if probably never eaten a hot dog. I think she lives on like, air and fiddlehead ferns. Not that fiddlehead ferns aren't yummy, but most people can't live on it. Maybe because she's from a... different planet? And there it is. Lee adding to the golfing conversation. If it goes to the left, it's a slice. If it goes to the right, it's a hook. And if it goes straight, it's a miracle. There aren't many miracles in my golf. There weren't any miracles, many miracles in my golf game. All right. Let's try to put this thing back on track. Because you see, as Sparky pointed out a little bit ago, oh great, another COVIDiot rally getting ready to start in Arizona with blowing misting machines blowing over the waiting mass and not a mask in sight. And he's correct. Sparky is. Because what we found out earlier today is that apparently the clowns who are hosting this Coronapalooza in Arizona. It's being held at a mega church. And the people hosting it of Dream City Church's, yeah, Dream City Church, yes. They have boasted, and bear in mind this is a group of it's supposed to be organized for high school kids, but you know whatever. The church's, Dream City Church's chief operations officer, a prevaricating evangelical by the name of Brendan Zastro, was bragging as to how, the Rona couldn't get into their mega church. Oh, dear God. You know, this is going to be a hot... And this is what Sparky's talking about with them spraying mist. I wish I was kidding.
Hey, gang, we have some exciting information about what we're doing to fight COVID-19 here at Dream City Church. We're probably the first church in the nation to...
Yeah, we've installed Clean Air EXP. We have a local Arizona company. It was technology developed by some members of our church, and we've installed these units, and it kills 99.9% of COVID within 10 minutes.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Independent testing.
It's an ionization? Is that what
ionization. It's ionization of the air, and it takes particulates out, and COVID cannot live in that environment.
So when you come into our auditorium, 99% of COVID is gone,
that's
killed,
correct.
If it was there in the first place. So you can know when you come here, you'll be safe and protected. Thank God for great technology, and thank God for being proactive.
Amen.
Bless you guys. Hey, gang, we have...
Yeah, no. Just no. The whole thing is a great big evangelical lie. We're ionizing... Well, hell. Maybe they're just spraying bleach on the congregation. No, we're ionizing... We're mayonnaising. Mm-hmm. And they invented it right there at Dream City Church. What's the likelihood of that happening? Zero. Yeah, this is rich. It's newly installed technology. Maybe they're running the air through some colloidal silver they bought from Jim Baker. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the fun part about it. The claim there, as you heard, is that Clean Air EXP eliminates 99.9% of coronavirus from the air in less than 10 minutes. You know, the same thing that Lysol claims. But there are footnotes. Biosafety lab analysis performed on active coronavirus 229E test surrogate. Coronavirus 229E is one of the viruses responsible for the common cold that's often used in virus studies. We could have saved this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but it would have gone stale. Because this is happening for real right now in a state that is spiking with COVID-19. Like they can't imagine. Here's the fun part. COVID-19, novel COVID-19, is not, I repeat, not active coronavirus 229E test surrogate. Because there's some fast and loose being played there. And yes, the event's being hosted by Students for Trump, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of TP Action USA, or Turning Point Action, Toilet Paper Action, not sure which, which is the activist side of the hustle that's run by that neo-maxi Zoom dweeby who's always wrong about everything, Charlie Kirk. So they think they're going to just spray the room and won't nobody get no Rona. This is going to be less effective than the little little snap and pop ionizers that sit in gambling dens and the like, you know, where smoking's still allowed. Sucks up the smoke and you know, snap, snap, pop, pop. Yeah, no. That was Senior Pastor Luke Barnett who said, "So when you come into our auditorium, 99% of COVID is gone." Well, that always leaves the what about the 1% or 0.1%. And more than that, though, is the question of are you really saying that out loud for everybody to hear? And it caught the eye and ear of Representative Ted Lieu, who immediately tweeted their video back at them and said, Dear Dream City Church, COVID-19 is spread through respiratory droplets from one person to another. That's why enclosed spaces where people are next to each other for long periods, like at church, have become super spreader events. Did you clear your statement with your lawyers? Well, yeah, we got lawyers who are members of Dream City Church, and they said it was fine by them because they weren't going to be liable for it. Did you call your insurance carrier? Oh, we don't need none of them. We got Jesus. And so we're going to have another super spreader event. We don't know, to be fair, we don't know on this trip how many people working the room on behalf of the Trump team already have the Rona. We don't know that, so we're not going to talk about that. But if people do come away from there feeling or looking a little blue, it'll maybe because they're spraying Jim Baker's colloidal silver on people. So, and I'm sorry, it's a radio program, but I have to make an observation about the video part of it. The guy who speaks first, the sort of ginger-looking guy in the appears to be sort of pink short-sleeve shirt, looks like somebody you wouldn't want to allow around children. Just saying. So it's a terrible idea, but after the failure of Coronapalooza in Tulsa, and what with Arizona being an actual swing state, more on swing states in a minute, and what with Martha McSally almost already mathematically eliminated from her Senate race, there's at least an argument to be made for there being some sense in the maggot campaign going to Arizona if you're willing to overlook the fact that they're liable to poison and kill their own voters, and that those voters will then go out into the public and refuse to wear a mask and talk about how they got a health condition, and they don't have to tell you what the health condition is because of the ADA and HIPAA, and you're going to hear from my lawyer, and I can't breathe with a mask on, so freedom. That's pretty close to what's on the card, isn't it? Yes, it is. So look for bad things coming out of Arizona. And to our friends in Arizona, folks like Jerry and Suman and others, my old buddy John, well, y'all are smart enough to know, like I say at the end of every program, if you see anything or anyone coming toward you that looks even remotely like they might possibly be a Trump voter, avoid them like the plague, because they are. Now, in my ongoing and desperate attempt to get back to the point I was trying to make at the beginning, so there I was, watching my filthy morning habit. And they cut away to break. Now, let's make no mistake, before last Saturday, and they weren't wrong for doing this, before last Saturday, in the week leading up, the 2 weeks leading up, they talked constantly about what a bad idea the Coronapalooza in Tulsa was going to be. And then starting yesterday morning, they talked some more about what the Coronapalooza in Tulsa had been. because you had a whole bunch of people in a confined space breathing and LARPing and smolicking and tossling and jostling amongst each other and spewing projectile viral particles at each other with no attempt to mitigate that whatsoever. In probably some of the best in-depth analysis of why it was a bad idea, we discussed it at length on this past Friday on the front porch, right? So we can say that there is consensus that these kinds of group gatherings are a bad idea. Right? Okay. And so I'm not taking issue with anything that they said on my Filthy Morning Habit or anything that we said on this program or together in conversation on Friday on the front porch. We were in the right. But here's the difference. One, because this program is listener supported, we don't cut away to breaks. What happens here is if you throw something into the kitty, then I happily mention and thank you for it on behalf of the whole community, especially since you're about 1 in 100 and you're making it possible for 99 other people to listen to the program. That deserves tremendous thanks. Well, not so over at My Filthy Morning Habit. Because you got to sell a shit ton of ads in order to support $8 million a year just for Joe Scarborough. And I don't, maybe Ron's already looked it up. I don't know what Mika's pulling down or Barnacle or Little Willie Geist. I don't know. Or the people who are signed on as permanent, you know, you show up when we call you kind of correspondent guests. But you got to sell a lot of ads. Most of the time, those ads seem to be drawn from the pharmaceutical industry. But today I saw something a little different. Today they cut away to break, and there was a big splashy ad all about how we can finally start having fun in America again. And it was an ad for a theme park. It was an ad for a theme park in Florida, where the Rona is rapidly running through the roof. In conjunction with this, we had testimony on Capitol Hill today before the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee. Dr. Fauci showed up and said things that are not going to please Clorox Claudius once he finds out. He said, Dr. Fauci did, that no, it's not going down. Yes, he is deeply concerned about the potential that the thing could blow up all over again, either in the short term or in the long, especially when it starts getting colder again. You know, June's almost over. And it just feels like, here in Appalachia, I feel shortchanged. Because we've had a few decent days, and most of it has been cold and rainy. The spring was no spring. Whether we would have had the pandemic or not, spring here was just wet and shitty. We've finally gotten a few pleasant days, and then bang, the solstice hits, and now every day gets a little bit shorter. I know, I'm a little ray of fucking sunshine, but you knew that when you tuned in. And so you got people sitting in the House of Representatives today, talking about how it's going to get really bad when the cold weather comes. It's almost like we've just written the summer off altogether.
And I, you know, damn it, I got more freckles to make. One of these days, if all the freckles get together, I might actually look like I've got a tan. And so Dr. Fauci is not at all sanguine about the ability of the maggot states. He didn't say it specifically in those terms, but not at all sanguine about the ability of the maggot states to curb the spread of something that they're not particularly interested in curbing the spread of. In Texas, for instance, adults, because the hospitals are already swamped, adults are being transferred to children's hospitals and placed on children's ventilators in the hopes of keeping them from dying, because Texas never really had much of an interest in the first place in stopping the spread of the virus. And of course, Texas is the single most uninsured state in the union. So, things are not good. Just because the hillbillies are all going to Myrtle Beach doesn't mean that everything's okay. I mean, if you're an intellectual in South Carolina, I can't help thinking that maybe every now and then you look up and go, you know, the way McGovern's handling the coronavirus kind of reminds me of how we wound up getting burnt to the ground by Sherman, because we just ain't got that many smart people in this here state. But that was an aside. No, it's the ad. It's the ad. The ad was for Universal Studios theme park in Florida. We've taken affirmative steps to make sure we've got lots of social distancing here in Universal Studios theme park, and we're cleaning things up extra special, super double plus good, so come on down, we can have fun again. That ad all by itself, it just like the pitch that Ted Lieu caught those two gospel sharps hustling. That entire ad was an actionable, it looked like an actionable fraud. Well, wait a minute. Me and Marvelline took the grandkids and went to Universal Studios theme park in Florida, and we done all come back with the Rona. But they said it was all clean and okay. Well, you know, there's that old Latin phrase, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Or, I don't know, let the roller coaster rider beware. Think about that for a minute. You get on the roller coaster, and if you're in the back car, some people like to be in the back car on the roller coaster. But when the folks in the front start to spew in their viral particles and vomiting and whatnot, guess who gets it? Sure. But here's the thing with all of that. Universal theme parks are owned by Universal. MSNBC is owned by NBC. NBC is owned by Universal. And that's why the corporate name is NBC Universal. So it was nothing if not a stunning act of unenlightened hypocrisy for them to run that ad in the middle of my filthy morning habit. Donald Trump's Coronapaloozas? Bad. Bring your family to our parent corporation's viral cesspit? Good. It's almost like nobody even thinks about this crap before they do it. because, among other things, I'm a big proponent of not helping the other side. Don't give them ammunition that they don't have to have. Because I saw this, and the light bulb went on for me, and there has to be somebody there in the MAGIT administration who's going, wait a minute, they said our rally in Tulsa was bad, but they're asking people to come and get the Rona in Florida? Well, that ain't fair. And that's exactly what MSNBC did. It was horrible. It was a public disservice. It was broadcast malpractice. Come on down to Madam No Wash's Bordello. We've wiped down everything real good and even washed out the condoms a couple of times. Slap one on and get busy. I mean, if you go to Donald Trump's, if you go to one of those bordellos run by Donald Trump, well, doggone it, you might get the Rona, or you might get the clap, but not at Madam Nasty's universal syphilis-free bordello. That's what they did. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy awarded a cowbell for extra super double plus good. Belly laughed hard with that because if I don't, well, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy adding, Bob, stop telling us to be depressed that the summer solstice has passed and days are getting shorter. I have a sled waiting to rip through snow-covered fields and woods. There are, well, you know what? That's a brand of optimism that I need to adopt, but you're at least far enough that you get that kind of thing. Down here, mostly lately, except if you go back to like 2014, our winters are nothing but slop, which I'm not complaining about. It's just kind of depressing. So it's kind of hard to sort out the mixed messaging. Would you, the Horn Family Community Congregation, exercising the judgment afforded to you by your great big primate brains, would you go anywhere near a theme park right now? Because admittedly, I'm not a roller coaster fan. And theme parks have never done much for me. But I wouldn't, even if I liked them, because of the aforementioned judgment afforded by the aforementioned great big primate brain. And so, I wonder, you know, what they, in the for-profit media, what they love to say is, well, you know, our news division and our sales division are entirely separate. And it's a fig leaf of very little value. Because at the end of the day, they may be separate, but when the rubber meets the road, that Universal Theme Parks ad is going to run in the middle of a program that has otherwise pointed out how desperately ill-informed, if not stupid, it is to be going LARPing and smollicking and tossing around amongst a bunch of people in a state that never took it seriously in the first place, the virus, and are now determined to take it even less so, in the middle of a huge viral spike. Yeah, separate, says Steve in New York. Kind of like smoking and non-smoking sections on airplanes. God, it's getting to the point that there's probably very few people who actually remember smoking sections on airplanes. I They were gone just shortly after I started flying around as a teenager. So look for more of that kind of stupidity. I'd be curious. I may try to wake up in time to catch the whole thing tomorrow just to see if that ad runs again or if somebody somewhere along the way said, "What the fuck are you thinking?" And then there's the question for the accounting department. Since it's NBC Universal's network and NBC Universal's theme park, did they even have to pay for the ad? Or was MSNBC encouraging people to go and get sick for free? Suman with a note. I met a maggot yesterday. Oh, dear God. I'm a member of one of the local public speaking clubs. We meet weekly, and it's a fun and very diverse group. A couple of us went to visit another club. Sometimes something we do occasionally. Toastmasters? Believe it or not, here I saw a real live, no kidding maggot give a speech on why she will not wear a mask. Oh my God. She says COVID is a hoax. She said COVID was not in the top 10 reasons contributing to U.S. deaths. Then she proceeded to give 10 reasons why masks are harmful for you. We all sat flabbergasted and just listened. Is it wrong that I'm hoping she goes to the maggot rally today and gets the virus? Just asking. I try to think positive thoughts, but it's hard when I listen to such nonsense. Here's hoping Biden takes a page out of Sinema's campaign playbook and wins 11 electoral votes from Arizona. My wife and I requested our mail-in ballots today. Suman, what was it like? Was there social distancing inside the meeting? Or were people just, you know, up on top of one another as per usual? And how far were you from the maggot? That's terrifying, Suman. It's the scariest thing I've seen all day, you know, except the Universal theme park ad notwithstanding. Silent R. Lamar, trying to keep things in perspective, has a question. If you wear a rubber, can you prevent Trump COVID chlamydia? Very small cowbell, Silent R. I'm familiar with that old saying. In fact, Bossman Wayne lived in Vermont for a very long time, Randy in PA, and has told me that on a number of occasions. There's an old Vermont saying that says they get 9 months of winter and 3 months of damn poor sledding. Maybe that's what Jeremy was referring to. As for numbers, Florida, where that theme park is, 30th out of 50 states and some territories in testing. Texas, 36th in testing. Odd, they're very bad at testing, yet they're near the top at new cases. So it seems not testing doesn't make it better.
Better.
No, it doesn't. Oh, thanks for the reminder. Randy in PA says it's actually Comcast Universal. Comcast owns 51%. NBC's a minor part now. I don't think that changes the dynamic, though. Hate to break it to you, Bob, says Megan, but late this morning, MSNBC interviewed the maggots that went to Clorox Claudius's rally in Tulsa last weekend. They cried hypocrisy over the protests burning up the nation, claiming the MSM never had concerns over COVID-19 spreading during said protests, and because of that, seemed to think that the virus is a hoax. It's a lie, because I distinctly remember the MSM raising such concerns, talking about the virus making hotspots through coverage of the protests. These people will take anything they can grasp to cry foul or prove their points that they prefer or to believe points that they prefer to believe over facts. And in fact, I'm well aware of that. I've seen it in action already. It's a particularly pernicious form of whataboutism. And it is born of the fact that while you and I might watch CNN or MSNBC or maybe the CBS Evening News, whatever, all these maggots are watching none of those and watching only Fox, and Fox did not complain, did not say a word about the potential spread of COVID-19 until afterward as a form of criticism, and they have picked up that talking point and run with it like a live hand grenade that these idiots think they've got to carry into the end zone. Yeah, we got it! We're going to score! Bang! And that's how this sort of pernicious misinformation spreads. If Fox doesn't talk about it, it doesn't happen. It's the ultimate in the, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and Fox fails to report on it, did the tree actually fall if you're a maggot? Ah, okay, I feel a little bit better now. Suman letting me know that it was a Zoom call. We were invited by a web link by another friend. No way I was going in person. The maggot lady was also complaining that we need to get back to meeting in person ASAP. Well, you and the other maggots do that. Let the sane people stay, and we'll find out once and for all whether Darwin's law of natural selection is real, and then we can stop having all these goddamn debates about whether or not we're going to include evolution in biology textbooks in fucking Texas. Annie Rain, don't you use any of these words. You hear me? Uncle Bob says no. And Lee pointing out with the numbers, the testing numbers that, or percentages that Steve just shared with us, of course not testing makes it better. Imagine how high the numbers would be if they did test. Stop telling us smoking sections don't exist on planes anymore. I don't know. Maybe you can still get a smoke. Maybe you can still light up on an Aeroflot flight in Mother Russia. Those planes are liable to spontaneously combust anyway. Smoking's the least of their concerns. David in South Carolina, Stan, reminds us, Chucky Todd apparently wants to investigate whether Bubba Wallace put the noose in his own garage area. There's that, too. I trust you know this story by now. A couple of weeks ago, NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. NASCAR had tried to do so a few years ago, asking, not outright banning, and the NASCAR fans said, hell no, heritage not hate. God damn it, we're going to keep flying our Confederate flags. You know, even in non-Confederate states, because NASCAR has expanded outside the South. And so that quietly went away for a little bit. And then, like I said, a couple of weeks ago, they banned the Confederate flag outright. And Bubba Wallace, the only black driver in NASCAR, who, by the way, drives for Richard Petty Racing, which says something about Richard Petty's consideration of his skill set. And so Bubba Wallace said it was the right thing to do. And over the weekend, the story broke that a noose had been found in Bubba Wallace's garage. Now, please don't hate on me for this, but I'm just going to walk through this because it set my spidey sense all a-tingle. If you consider something like the NHL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, you know, these are all professional sporting leagues whose teams have independent owners, but whom no one person actually owns the league. On the other hand, and I'll probably piss some people off by making this comparison, on the other hand, you've got the WWE and NASCAR, which are entirely owned by an individual. In the case of WWE, what, Vince McMahon? And in the case of NASCAR, the France family. And so they are little entertainment fiefdoms. This is not to say that the people who the crowds come to see aren't actually athletes. We've been over this before. But especially in recent years, say the last 10 years or so, there has been a move to expand NASCAR's base beyond its typical redneck, pardon the name, Bubba constituency. And part of the means by which they have done that is to bring in a soap opera element to the universe of stock car racing. And by bringing in that soap opera element, they have injected a sort of a story arc. And that's what got my spidey sense to tingling. Because the story fits perfectly. It fits like jigsaw puzzle pieces. 2 weeks ago, you got a ban of the Confederate flag. This, in turn, causes a tremendous outcry on social media of the usual flag Confederate flag-waving descendants of traitors. Y'all gonna lose your audience, was one of the major refrains. And then lo and behold, somehow or another, mysteriously, a noose appears in the only black NASCAR driver's garage. Now, on the one hand, it is absolutely, completely, and totally believable that somewhere in the universe of NASCAR there are some unreconstructed and unrepentant old white supremacists or young white supremacists who would do a thing as odious as that. On the other hand, you have to consider the security that attends these things. I mean, this isn't an old 71 rusted 71 Chevy Nova just sitting in a corrugated tin garage. These are gajillion dollar specialty race cars that are cared for on a par, different but the same, as a thoroughbred horse in the bluegrass of Kentucky. And so one can't help, I don't think, but have one's spidey sense tingle a little bit at this. One would think there would be security cameras of every angle in the garage, if for no other reason than the insurance company would probably require it. Where's the footage? How did the noose get there? But boy, howdy, NASCAR sure has gotten some free PR out of it. And remember, there is no such thing as bad public relations. A mention is a mention is a mention. And so then, in advance of the race this weekend, or actually, well, it was yesterday, there was a tremendous procession. And Richard Petty came and stood arm in arm with Bubba Wallace. And it was an image that the France family and NASCAR could not have ever afforded to even pay for, to have that broadcast from sea to shining sea and across the fruited plain. So like I said, am I willing to believe that there's some old unrepentant, unreconstructed white supremacist that would do something as odious as that? I absolutely am, because I know the nature of the country in which I live. And knowing the makeup of the NASCAR audience, there was probably a significant percentage, probably similar to Donald Trump's numbers, to go, hell yeah, South gonna rise again, and celebrated that goddamn noose. The question is how it gets there. And of course, it was attended by a statement that says, in which NASCAR said, we will not cease. We will not cease until such time as we find who did this. It's only one problem. I saw this earlier, and this is kind of the denouement on all of this. Scott saw it too, Scott in San Diego. The FBI has concluded its investigation at the Talladega Motors Super Speedway and issued a statement this afternoon. The FBI report concludes, and this is from a statement issued by NASCAR. The FBI report concludes, and photographic evidence confirms, that the garage door pull rope, fashioned like a noose, had been positioned there since as early as last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. Now, because of the times in which we live, this adds another wrinkle to the story. Namely, that this is supposedly the product of an FBI investigation. You know, the FBI investigation that operates under the aegis of the Department of Justice, which is run in turn by Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. So there's just something something odd about it all. So maybe there's a an unreconstructed nasty ass white supremacist who just installed a pull rope on the garage door in the shape of a noose back last fall, because unreconstructed nasty white supremacist. And that it was not targeted toward Bubba Wallace at all. It just happened to be that whoever's in that garage thought that the noose was kind of cute, and it made it a good way to reach up and grab that little loop and pull it down and get the garage door down, see? Because NASCAR can't afford electric garage door openers. there's a, the whole damn story just feels a hell of a lot like this way to the egress and the France family laughing all the way to the bank. Just as, for instance, Vince McMahon did back when he gave Donald Trump his first big break in TV as a character in an ongoing storyline in wrestling. As if we didn't have enough fucking problems. Titanic intellect. It's a thing. And let's see. Shorty in L.A. Get this. NASCAR's never said where the noose was. That photo busted them. To me, that photo shows me that some person cut that garage rope and placed it somewhere where Bubba could see it. It just like what black man pays his black friends to commit a white supremacist crime against him, in come Chicago PD trial by media. Understand this, the judge did, and that's a connection with Jussie Smollett. Understand this, the judge did tell Mr. Smollett that if he is found guilty, he can definitely file charges against the former superintendent of the Chicago PD. By the way, that hate group called The Base was former FBI. Lee in New York pointing out, that noose, it was originally used by the Adams family to summon Lurch. You rang. Irish Dave asking, so are they saying this was a random false noose incident? No, wait. First across the finish line is marked by a false checkered flag now. They're always black and white, you know, those checkered flags. As to the Universal theme parks ad, Scott in San Diego says, I don't know whether they paid for the ad to run or not, but I do know that there's no connection between the program content and placement of an ad. It's usually a matter of how many sets of eyeballs in the skulls of a particular demographic can we get for the ad dollars we're spending. I'm thinking the ad agency that handles the buys for Universal theme park based their decision in the hope of reaching parents, or more likely grandparents, who will then take their little tykes down to Florida to ride the rides and eat hot dogs and cotton candy. See, that's what I'm skeptical of, Scott, that fig leaf of there's no connection between the program content and placement of an ad. They keep telling us that, but they only tell us that every time they get caught in a situation that looks like there was a definite connection between the content of the program and the content of the ad. I, too, am capable of paranoia. Meanwhile, Mike in Cascadia says, check out today's world meter. Sorted on new cases, Florida has been in the top three for about 2 weeks running. I wouldn't travel to Florida now if they paid me. No offense to the Floridians in the Horn community. I don't think anybody's going to be offended. I got notes on Twitter from our buddy Jason down there, who says that apart from his workplace and his what he describes as my little ranch, that everybody in Florida is just wandering around waiting for it to happen. Funny, says Mike in Cascadia, I've noticed several Florida trolls of Washington Governor Jay Inslee. These trolls are more worried about the small local Chaz or CHOP issue going on in Seattle. Chaz, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What does CHOP stand for? Capitol Hill. So, outside police or something. They're not concerned with their own state burning up with COVID-19, but we know maggots don't know irony, and like you just said on the show, Fox News and Onan never broadcast reality. One more thing, the right wing gloated for months that COVID-19 was a blue state disease. Notice now, however, the top of the list based on new cases is dominated by maggot states. 11 of the top 15 are maggot states: Texas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. Doesn't that just about equal the Confederacy? That's 11. Who are we missing? I think that is the Confederacy. The other four that aren't the Confederacy are California, New York, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. And I would just about bet that those four states are having upticks as a result of the other 11. Because I've been willing to say all along that this damn thing has been weaponized into a bioterrorist tool. Because it's certainly behaving that way. Now, there was another hearing on Capitol Hill today in front of Gerald Nadler's House Judiciary Committee. Some interesting content coming out of that as well. And we'll probably we'll take a run at it here in a minute. But we're, well, close to halfway through this Titanic Tuesday. And we, at present, are standing at goose egg as far as meeting the evening's fundraising goal. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy for jumping in. It's not goose egg, thanks to Jeremy. Jumping in with his cup of coffee for the evening. Thank you, Jeremy, so very much. Means a lot that you're there at the beginning of the day every day. Have been during this damnable plague. Thank you. And so that gets us down to 2:30. And 23 at 10, 10 at 23, etc. It would go a long way toward making sure that come the end of the month we can pay the bills that we absolutely must pay to keep things going here. It's a Tuesday, though, and that means that we have... we've got the Green News report from Brad and Desi. And so let's check that out real quick. And then we'll get back to the conversation. By the way, up in Sparky's County, he says we had 19 cases found over the weekend here, Bob. It's frustrating to see what used to be the greatest country in the world turn into one of the most inept. But it wasn't an accident. By design. And by the way, when Europe starts reopening, guess who's going to be persona non grata in Europe? Yeah, the doors of Europe will be closed to Americans because, by and large, we are dirty, disease-bearing vermin. And how sad that is. Steve in New York pointing out the new cases per day in New York have fallen from a high of 11,571 on April 15th to yesterday, 669. It's improvement, vast improvement, but it can go up again as easily as it can go down. I know what you mean, Bob, says Megan. A little off topic here, but I've been wondering about the flagrant police abuse seemingly increasing in recent years. More specifically, I'm wondering how cops go about recruiting. Could there be a secret effort to recruit those who have white hoods in their closets? If so, do they also control how cops are trained for the job? It certainly would make sense for the rise in killings of people of color, particularly during the two terms of President Barack Obama. I mean, if the plot of Captain America Winter Soldier is anything to go by, what better way to keep the KKK going than under the guise of law and order? Well, it's not even so much that there's a guise, Megan. The KKK has always been a law and order organization, because law and order in this country has always been a phrase that has been freighted with white supremacy. It's practically what it means. It just is. Because it was law and order was defined as keeping certain segments of this population in check, and you kept them in check by keeping them in fear. That's the reality. Oh, yeah. And thank you very kindly to the Tarot Room. Thank you very much for jumping in. That takes us down to 220 to go in fundraising this evening. So that's Jeremy in the Tarot Room. Getting us started this evening. Oh, and courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, a note from Mike in Cascadia. Those Twitter trolls trolling Governor Inslee ain't from St. Petersburg, not the one in Florida. Yeah, there's a different St. Petersburg. Petrograd, Mother Russia. Meanwhile, in La Crosse County, southwestern Wisconsin this weekend, Flavio informs us 72 new confirmed infections. And according to Agence France-Presse, the U.S., which has more deaths and cases than any other country, has carried out around 27 million coronavirus tests, placing it 26th in the world per capita. Yeah, but Clorox Claudia says, we've tested more than anybody else in the world. And when somebody did dare to raise the issue of per capita, he said, well, you know, there's all kinds of different per capitas. Oh, fuck me, a running, rolling donut. I get that, Steve pointing out. Actually, it can go up far faster than it comes down. Governor Cuomo made that point. March 17th, 750 new cases in New York. April 15th, 11,571 new cases. June 22nd, 669. There's a huge difference in what it takes to go up versus going down. Okay, so now let's go and check out the Green News Report. Maybe there'll be some good news in there. Ah, don't count on it.
Tuesday, June 23, 2020.
The official reading was 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit.
Months-long Arctic heat wave delivers all-time record high in Siberia. Extreme heat now kills more Americans than hurricanes and floods. Trump administration rolls back decades-old protections for migratory birds. Plus,
we owe it to future generations to build back better, including a fairer, greener, and more resilient global economy.
UK builds world's largest liquid air battery.
Liquid air battery?
Yep.
What's that?
A liquid air battery.
All of those mysteries answered and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she doesn't even want wind. She doesn't want those bird-killing machines to go round and round. You want to see a lot of birds that are dead go under a windmill sometime.
You want to see a presidential campaign that's dead? Go to Tulsa sometime. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, does Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really oppose wind power, as Donald Trump says?
No, not at all. At his rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma over the weekend, President Trump repeated his delusional obsession with wind energy and false claims about high numbers of bird deaths. Just FYI, glass buildings and oil and gas fields kill far more birds than wind turbines.
Donald Trump owns a lot of glass buildings, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And he supports a lot of oil and gas fields as well, doesn't he?
Yep. Of course, Trump omitted the part where his administration just rolled back decades-old migratory bird protections.
Oh, yeah.
To benefit the fossil fuel industries. The new draft rules allow companies to simply claim they didn't mean to kill any birds, and that's good enough to escape fines and penalties. Plus, the Trump administration's own environmental assessment of the rollback admits that it will result in more bird deaths than under the old rules, and it suggests that there are actually benefits to having fewer birds in the world.
Other than that, he's really, really opposed to windmills because they kill all of those birds, not because they want to build it outside of his golfing properties offshore.
Right.
I gotcha.
Disturbing heat record in the Arctic Circle. The small Siberian town of Verkhoyansk hit 100 degrees Fahrenheit on Saturday, about 30 degrees hotter than the hottest temperatures for June. Once verified, it will be the all-time record high for the Arctic Circle since record keeping began in the 1850s.
100 degrees Fahrenheit in Siberia. Did I read that in Miami it has only ever hit 100 degrees once?
Yes. Meteorologists say it's also extremely unusual because this temperature spike has persisted since December. The number and intensity of Siberian wildfires has also increased. Climate scientists say the dramatic swings in temperature in Siberia would only happen once in 100,000 years if it weren't for man-made climate change. The Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet. That is melting permafrost on which much of the Arctic's infrastructure is built. It also releases more climate-warming carbon dioxide and methane, creating a self-reinforcing feedback loop that makes global warming even worse. And now a new study concludes that extreme heat is the biggest public health threat from extreme weather in the United States. The study from Columbia University finds that more Americans have died from extreme heat waves than hurricanes, tornadoes, or floods over the last 10 years. Scientists say that heat waves in cities across the U.S. have tripled in frequency on average over the last 20 years, and that heat waves are getting longer, including dangerous nighttime heat. And both man-made climate change and urbanization contribute to the nighttime heat trend. Florida and Arizona have seen heat-related hospitalizations and deaths double over the last decade. Researchers publishing in the Journal of the American Medical Association in a comprehensive study of 32 million births found that women who were exposed to higher temperatures or air pollution were more likely to give birth to children who were premature, underweight, or stillborn. And like with so many health-related outcomes in the United States, African-American mothers and babies were harmed at disproportionately higher rates from the increases in air pollution and heat. But there is some good news, for the UK at least, where construction is underway on the world's largest liquid air battery. The massive project uses excess clean wind and solar energy to compress ordinary air into a liquid, and then when needed, the air is released back into a gas with the pressure powering a turbine to generate clean, zero-carbon energy right back to the grid. The liquid air battery can store energy for weeks, unlike conventional chemical batteries, and will be able to power 200,000 homes for hours at a time. It's backed with funding from the UK government as part of its shift away from coal. Quite the contrast from the Trump administration.
Yes, it is. And thank you for explaining what a liquid air battery is.
Yep.
I still don't understand it, but it sounds good, so I'll take it. For much more on all of those stories and to help you figure out what a liquid air battery is, please stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
See? I told you. Just good news from start to finish. Okay, the liquid air battery is kind of interesting, but still, I'm kind of where Brad was and not real sure what liquid air is. Maybe it's, and this will be our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening, maybe it's like transparent aluminum. Yoy. So we have officially reached the halfway point of the evening. And there's, as I said, almost no end to the Titanic intellect on display. If we are to slow surges of the Rona, according to Dr. Fauci today, the next 2 weeks are going to be critical. Among other things, he said, people like him, Dr. Fauci, need to be seen wearing masks. Quote, not only because I want to protect others and to protect myself, but also to set an example. And that was a dig at the great unmasked one, Clorox Claudius. Dr. Birx today, in a phone call with governors, directly contradicted Corona Caligula, saying that in no way is there anything better to be had out of testing less. She couldn't have been much more plain in her words. She said, hopefully I've left you with the impression that increased testing is good. We would like to even see it even more. Identifying cases early, including your asymptomatic ones, will really help us protect the elderly and the additional people with comorbidities. Jesus Christ. Well, that information's useless to the maggots. They couldn't spell comorbidities if you spotted them every letter in the word. And even if they could spell it, they still couldn't understand it. Because they're maggots. She was unequivocal in telling the governors that they have to increase testing if they want to stop the outbreak that is roaring through the Confederacy right damn now. Kyle, you're getting the gist of it. Kyle says, if I can translate everything you're talking about into a few words, we're basically fucked then. Which reminds me that I really do need to take a moment and just do a little recording off air with Scott at some point in time. And I'll just load it into the virtual cart deck of Scott saying, we're all screwed, Bob. It's becoming more and more handy. Oh, and this was another little moment that I felt like I just really didn't need, and we didn't need. But 2020 is turning out to be the ultimate hold my beer year. And I think it was in the last couple of weeks I may have glibly remarked that at this point in time, I'm waiting for Godzilla to show up and start swinging on the New River Gorge Bridge like monkey bars. And then lo and behold, Agnes sends me the following headline. Godzilla Sahara dust cloud heading for U.S. may be biggest for 50 years. Who's the wise ass? It will. The wise ass is so-called experts cited by the Associated Press who have called a massive plume of sandstorm that has transited the Atlantic Ocean from Africa and is now affecting Caribbean island nations the Godzilla sandstorm because it's the biggest one to cross the Atlantic in the last half century. So if my ciphering on the fly is to be believed, it's the biggest sandstorm to cross from Africa to the Western Hemisphere since 1970. Pablo Mendez Lazaro of the School of Public Health at the University of Puerto Rico told the Associated Press, "This is the most significant event in the past 50 years. Conditions are dangerous in many Caribbean islands." Colonel Doug Hurley, an astronaut, said, "We flew over aboard the International Space Station, said, we flew over this Saharan dust plume today in the West Central Atlantic. Amazing how large an area it covers." Then Don Kotlowski, a senior meteorologist for AccuWeather, added, "According to scientists that I've gotten some information from, they're saying this is an abnormally large dust cloud. One of the things I noticed from this is the dust started coming off the coast of Africa several days ago. In fact, maybe over a week ago, and it's still coming. It's almost like a prolonged area of dust." According to the NASA Earth Observatory, the thickest part of the plume is some 1,500 miles across the Atlantic. It happens every year, but it doesn't happen every year this big. And the dust particles can even reach the mainland U.S. For the most part, us here, what it means is that we will see some more vibrant sunsets. The physical explanation being that light from the sun is made up of all the colors of the spectrum. You know, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And the gases in the atmosphere scatter bluish hues in shorter wavelengths as opposed to the yellow and red ones with longer wavelengths. The problem is in Caribbean islands, it can interfere with the ability to, breathe air. It'll be downright dangerous in the islands of the Caribbean. But it'll be real pretty in Florida, Texas, and Louisiana. I think they chose that Godzilla name on purpose, just because it fits so well. Kind of like that meme of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming up over the mountains. Why the fuck not? I seem to recall something like that. Kyle says, do you remember the woman who tried to open a portal to a parallel universe last year? I forget exactly when, but it was sometime in the fall, and at least now we may have an explanation for all this shit. And Jimmy points out, coming into the new year, I thought and said that 2020 was the year of true vision. Was I right? If not true, then terrifying. Robert in Australia lets us know, Australia's second wave of COVID-19 here in Australia, after months of state borders being closed, they reopened last week, just as Victoria has a new outbreak of COVID-19. 17 brand new cases reported in the last 24 hours, and it looks like it's been caused by community transmission as a result of large gatherings. Large gatherings being defined as more than 10 people indoors, as there are hot spots in certain Melbourne suburbs. Rather than just close the state borders again, people are being asked not to travel between states. But people are traveling anyway because reasons, shaking head in disbelief. So I expect we'll have new outbreaks everywhere across the country in 2 to 3 weeks. Robert, still in isolation in Oz. Robert, still in isolation, still using that the good judgment of that big primate brain of his in Oz. This is going to prove to be a battle between the reptile brain people and the primate brain people. The problem being that the reptile brain people, even though they are not as intelligent as the primate brain people, can use their own stupidity as a weapon. Jeremy pointing out the COVIDians don't give a fuck about asymptomatic people. The mere fact you mentioned it makes us all pussy-ass snowflakes in their God's got my back and Jesus take the fucking wheel world. And that was absolutely the case. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, thanks a bunch, my friend. We are now done with yesterday's fundraising. And we are, we've only got today to deal with. So today, between now and the end of the program, or the overnight crew, as the case turns out, I try to let folks know at the end of the program where we finish. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, and we're staying even. So thank you, Kevin. Thanks a bunch indeed. Yeah, as Flavio points out, we need more testing and contact tracing, but we can't have those nice things. If healthcare professionals, health department heads are being doxxed and getting death threats and leaving their jobs across the nation, I can't believe that's where we live. And the same shit's happening to Brazilian healthcare professionals. That's a lot of healthcare professionals of Brazilian. Sorry. I can't resist that. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's just a joke that for me never gets old. I think of that image of George W. Bush collapsed over the Resolute desk in 2004, weeping uncontrollably. As Count Dicula comes in, the Vice President of the United States, and says, George, what's the matter? And George, his head still on the desk, just picks up a copy of the Washington Post with the big banner headline that says, Three Brazilians killed in Iraq. And Count Dicula says, yeah? And George raises his feeble head off the desk and says, God damn it, Dick. Do you even know how many's in Three Brazilians? That joke deserves to... It should be told just every so often, as I do, just as a gentle reminder that the shit storm that swirls and buffets around us and buffets us from one disaster to the next was not entirely the making of one Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Brazilians. But what Flavio points out is absolutely true. According to the Washington Post, public health officials across the country are being driven from their jobs because maggots. And frankly, I think because of foreign, primarily Russian trolls. Rachel Weiner and Ariana Yunjung Cha, writing for the Post. For Lori Jones, the trouble began in early May. The director of a small public health department in Washington State was working with a family under quarantine because of coronavirus exposure. When she heard one family member had been out in the community, Jones decided to check in. The routine phone call launched a nightmare. Someone posted on social media that we had violated their civil liberties, named me by name. They said, let's post her address. Let's start shooting. And it's been happening, as I pointed out, all over the country. We've been doing the same thing in public health on a daily basis forever, but we're now the villains, said Jones, 64, who called the police and set up surveillance cameras at her home. This month in California, Nicole Quick, Orange County's chief health officer, stepped down after she faced threats and protests at her home for requiring face coverings in many businesses as cases rose. The mandate issued May 23rd was softened to a recommendation a week later because, well, you know, the big spoiled goddamn babies can't abide. The idea that they might have to do something to protect their own goddamn community. In Pennsylvania, the Secretary of Health, who's transgender, has, according to the Washington Post article, come under fire over the state's handling the pandemic, including from a county official who resigned after saying at a recent meeting that he was tired of listening to a guy dressed up as a woman. Weld County, Colorado. Public Health Director Mark Wallace got a 7:30 p.m. email. He had until 9 a.m., it said, to weigh in on guidelines for reopening businesses, churches, salons, restaurants, etc., that go public an hour later. And then he retired. 80% of the members of the Colorado Association of Local Public Health Officials report having been threatened, and more than that were at risk of termination or lost funding. Sake. Yeah, thanks, Appalachian Power. It did come back promptly. We'll see if there are two more blinks, and then we'll know if the program's done for the evening. Shit. And so, all across the country, the ignorant, spoiled maggots have resorted to what their type always do, and that is to try to break or threaten or destroy or harm anything that they don't understand. Public health departments have been doing contact tracing since the earliest days of their existence, when, for instance, the Department of Public Health in New York contact traced the families for whom Typhoid Mary had worked. Public health departments have contact traced people exposed to various sexually transmitted infections. They've contact traced on AIDS, HIV. And yet somehow or another, The HIV impacted community somehow managed not to have a goddamn fit, but rather to understand that this was an attempt to protect the community at large. But you can't explain that to a fucking maggot. Oh no. Their civil liberties is being violated. Grunt. Fire bad. Contract tracing, bad. Blah. And so, as Flavio pointed out, this is why we can't have nice things. And for some reason or another, we lack the national will to make these idiots sit down and shut the fuck up. Oh, God almighty. And in the absence of expertise with all of these people quitting, that also has an impact on our ability to stop this damn disease. On May 13th, Los Angeles County Health Official Barbara Ferrer had a news conference and said that there may be 3 more months of stay-at-home requirements. Assholes circulated a doctored photo of her with dark circles under her eyes. And one tweet that got liked or retweeted over 100,000 times called her the most unhealthy-looking person I've ever seen. Gee, I wonder who helped amplify that tweet. And the people who are doing this hard work say that, well, Teresa Anselmo, who again runs the Colorado Association of Local Public Health Officials, where 80% of members had reported being threatened, said this is the beginning of a wave of people leaving. Who would want to work as a director in a public health department when you have a target on your back? A business counsel in Santa Clara County, California, accused Sarah Cody of cratering our economy because she was the first to impose a stay-at-home order. The sheriff of Santa Clara County is now investigating threats that have been made against her life. One hopes that the sheriff of Santa Clara County, California, isn't one of those constitutional idiots who thinks that she lacks the authority to do the job that she is governmentally and constitutionally tasked to do. Jesus Christ. And so we are we're back now. For some reason or another, the ancient coal-fired, rickety-ass, antiquated power grid that supplies the fabulous Horn Studios went down. And it took a minute or several for things to come back up. So thanks to you for letting me know. Thanks to Brother Deacon Asa and to Dave Number 11 and to Jeremy and to Lee and to Haley and Flavio. But a note, this does not qualify as having been frontiered. You know. What this is just getting, we'll call it app code. For fuck's sake. But hopefully we're back. Let me check in with Brother Deacon Asa. Well, darn it. That sucked. According to Brother Deacon Asa, that was a bad time to go for us to go dark. Yeah, the courtesy of Sparky, I'm looking now at the photo of the great big Corona Palooza tent-looking structure where they're going to be having their Trump Corona Palooza this afternoon, evening, whatever. Yeah, Flavio, I do see. Flavio says, but you see, is this where we live? I'm fucking terrified. You have a right to be. Remember, people marched with actual Nazi imagery in front of Amy Acton's home in or near Columbus, Ohio, because she had dared to say that the coronavirus can only be stopped if we socially distance and isolate. It probably, you know, because, I don't know, they thought she was a member of the Learned Elders of Zion or some such shit. Thanks, Dave 11. Yeah, we are back in broadcasting. Hopefully everybody didn't bail out. Ah, good. Brother Deacon Asa telling me also that we're back at it. Yeah, and we're back via the web player, says Jeremy, but the TuneIn streams are down and playing music. That's on TuneIn. I cannot emphasize enough. If you want to know that you're going to get the program live as it happens, go to headon.live. Because that's the only server we have actual control over. Yeah, I mean, nominally White Rose as well, but the headon.live server will get the program first and best when we have an interruption like this. Okay? And, you know, there I was just talking along, and bloop, and the power goes out. Oh, that's a hell of a coincidence. Todd in South Carolina, Stan says, the power went out here at the same time. What does that mean? Well, you're in South Carolina. I'm in West Virginia. South Carolina's sending a hell of a lot of Rona up here. Maybe you're sending your power outages, too. One of these days, I'm going to have to get one of those Gilligan's Island coconut bicycles. Bamboo and coconut. Then again, I suspect that's what's providing, well, it's a coal-fired coconut bamboo bicycle thing, Appalachian Power. We're probably paying extra for it. And, you know, not to piss and moan, and this is just an aside, but and not to make it all about me, but this pandemic really fucked with things. I was sincerely hoping that 2020 would be the year that we would do the crowdfunding campaign for the Horn Inn, and that we could finally make badly needed repairs to the magnificent Kincaid Mansion and the fabulous Horn Studios, and the grounds roundabout. You see that photo I posted over the weekend that Agnes took, you know, me out standing in my field. It's not really a field. That's my backyard. That's the part of it that we can't get to with a walk-behind mower. And so, you know, there's a list here. Things like floors, ceilings, plumbing, electricity, appliances, the very roof over the fabulous Horn Studio. The roofing material on that had a lifetime guarantee. Agnes and I have outlasted the lifetime guarantee on that roof. It was a combination of fiberglass and asphalt that, you know, it was corrugated, called Ondura, and it lasts forever. I don't even know if those fuckers are in business anymore, but it didn't. The primary roof of the house is metal, but the front porch and the back porch are that Ondura crap. And it turned out to be garbage. So there were all these things that I was hoping we could work on and provide for the Horn's continued existence into the future. And we were going to fund it all by virtue of the crowdfunding campaign. And if worst came to worst, you know, we'd find some other method. And that all went by the boards with this whole thing. Maybe we can, but I don't feel comfortable doing it with the country in the shape it's in right now. I can barely stand to do the fundraising for this program. But y'all see fit to keep it going, and that matters tremendously. But I did, well, exactly. Jeremy, by God, has a sense of priority here. Subject line, horn maintenance. Don't forget the pool boy service and the Gulfstream 10 hangar and jet fees. Yeah, right, and then there's Agnes's hot tub and Olympic kidney-sized swimming pool. Yeah. Hey. And thanks for jumping in again on Patreon to Uncle Smokey. That takes us down to 195. Thank you. Never a dull moment. I did, by the way, go to in a fit of rank optimism. I checked out 2021. And the first Saturday in June is June the 5th, 2021. So maybe somehow or another, we will yet be able to have our horn-in get-together and eat a whole bunch of barbecue and, who knows, dirty gravy biscuits and ham and hear some fantastic local music. I know some local musicians who are just tremendous, and see a little bit of what is a very special part of the country. And apparently it's extra special now, because now that Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has flung the barn doors wide, it appears that everybody wants to come to West Virginia because they think this is a great place not to get the Rona, never bothering to ponder for a moment that they might be bringing it with them. Used to do my heart good to see cars from Georgia and Alabama and Ohio and Pennsylvania and New York and Massachusetts all down here, because they were mostly environment, and they were here for the ecotourism, which meant by and large that they weren't going to be driving around with a bunch of Trump stickers on their car. Now I'm not so sure. And frankly, there are such mixed messages coming from Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice that I don't, you know, he's such a maggot. I don't know if this state blew up if he would impose another shutdown. Because it seems like there's a massive unwillingness to do that, not only here, but hell, congratulations, UK. When your cases blow up again, you can thank Boris the Spider, Boris Johnson, who today, no kidding, reduced social distancing in the UK, I guess because they've run out of island. Everybody having to keep 2 meters apart. Well, that was just too damn much. And people, I guess, were being pushed off into the waves at Land's End, Brighton and whatnot. Because Boris has cut social distancing in half, I guess because he's got some double secret probation knowledge that somehow or another, the virus particles, maybe they've had their wings clipped or something. And so people in the UK only have to stay a meter apart now. Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, there we go. June 5th, 2021. Steve in New York says, and actually spread some bacon jam on real biscuits. Damn Skippy. It affected Flavio, too. Flavio said, I was hoping to visit my sister in New York City that I haven't seen in almost 10 years. Would you get on a bus, a plane, or a train in the middle of all this? Oh, hell no. Never, no, no. As scared as I have been during this whole damn thing were the flight out to California and the flight back that Ferg took. I'm like, well, this is a great idea. The only solace in all of that was the fact that he was flying out to a place in California that didn't hardly have no Rona. Also turned out not to have anywhere for him to live. Oh, well. But along the way, he passed through places like Charlotte, Reno, Denver. Ugh. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Jeremy says, Land's End? Now, that's just silly, Bob. You can't get pushed off Land's End to the end of the waves. It's just a clothing company. Shh. The name came from somewhere. Yeah, I know Jeremy knows. But it was instructive. Like I said, it's terribly embarrassing, really. Because Europe is now looking at a reopening around July 1st. And we're vermin-bearing pariahs. No kidding. Because the EU may flat-out bar Merkins from entering European nations. Because we're so dirty. Because we're so disinterested in, or at least enough of the reptile brain Americans are so disinterested in stopping this virus that the decent people can't be trusted to enter Europe. The New York Times got a look at a draft list of acceptable travelers. And on that list, Americans, people from Mother Russia, and Brazilians are unwelcome in the European Union. Do you know how many is in a Brazilian? See? I knew I'd be coming back to that. And that stings. And again, according to the Times, reports that members of the European Union are still haggling over two potential lists of acceptable visitors based on how countries are faring with the virus. On both lists appears China, Uganda, Cuba, Vietnam, but neither of the lists has the United States on it. As the old saying goes, ah, how the mighty are fallen. Jesus, that's embarrassing. I mean, it's truly, but you'd do the same thing if you were Europe. New Zealand, come on over. Iceland, come on over. Vietnam, come on over. You know why Vietnam's come on over? Because, as our buddy Terry in Saigon could probably tell us, they've done a fantastic job of stopping the damn disease. It's downright amazing. Vietnam, a little relatively poor, allegedly communist country, has 349 confirmed cases of the Rona and nobody dead. Cambodia has 130 cases and nobody dead. Laos has 19 confirmed cases and nobody dead. Aha! But here's something. Consider Thailand. Thailand has a brutal, repressive, right-wing regime. They have 3,156 confirmed cases and 58 dead. That tells you something. Look at Taiwan. 446 confirmed cases, 7 dead. Intelligently, Japan... It took them a while to figure it out, but they canceled the Olympics. Tokyo, considerably larger than New York, has 5,849 confirmed cases and 323 dead. Look at that. And around the country, you can make a correlation between authoritarian right-wing governments and massive death. Italy being a case in point. And oh my God, we were talking about last week about Poland, where President the Duda, right-wing POS that he is, said that... being gay is worse than communism. Well, Poland has 32,527 confirmed cases and 1,375 dead. The difference between Sweden and Norway and Finland is astonishing. Finland... 7,155 confirmed cases, 327 dead. Norway, 8,772 confirmed cases, 248 dead. And in Stockholm, Sweden alone, 18,334 cases and 2,276 dead. And that's just Stockholm. Used to be that on the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 map, Mother Russia only had one red dot. Now, like the rest of the world, or most of it, Russia looks like it's got the measles. Red dots everywhere. But in Moscow alone, 216,095 cases with 3,643 dead. And they're still probably lying about it. The St. Petersburg, where those trolls were probably from, and not St. Petersburg, Florida? Well, Petrograd, 22,632 confirmed cases, 904 dead. How about that? Doesn't it just make you want to fire up the Lee Greenwood and sing? We're viral pariahs in the same category as Mother Russia. And I'm proud to be an American where I can keep the virus to me and I won't wear no goddamn mask because it means I'm free and I'd proudly stand up and spew on you less than 6 feet away because there ain't no doubt I got the bug. Gonna keep it in the USA. Fuck you, Lee Greenwood. Fuck you. At this point in time, ears have probably begun to bleed from that last rendition, and my apologies. Brother Deacon Asa says, is the UK on that EU ban list? I've heard they wanted nothing to do with the EU. there would be no small of amount of irony in that. Oh, let's check in on London, by the way. Oh, this is okay. This is just for the entirety of England. 159,328 confirmed cases, 38,427 dead. Let's check in on Scotland. Now, there are population differences, of course. But in Scotland, 15,794 cases, 2,472 dead. And that probably has a lot to do with the fact that a few weeks ago, Prime Minister of Scotland said, no, fuck no. We're not going to operate according to England's terms on this. We've been operating according to England's terms for the last 500 years, and it really hasn't played well for us. And so Scotland is doing considerably better. How about Ireland? 25,391 cases, 1,720 dead. Wales, 15,295 cases, 1,483 dead. On the other hand, let's check in on Ethiopia. 4,848 confirmed cases, 75 dead. And poor beat-up Somalia, 2,812 confirmed cases, 90 dead. How about Kenya? 4,952 confirmed cases, 128 dead. What do all these countries have in common? Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, Kenya, Tanzania. Not involved with Donald Trump. On the other hand, hey, South Africa. 106,108 confirmed cases, 2,102 confirmed dead. Cuba, as John Kennedy used to pronounce it. The whole island of Cuba has 2,318 confirmed cases and 85 dead. How is it that these countries are so much better than us at this? Puerto Rico, still reeling under the after effects of Hurricane Maria, having been left to fend for itself after paper towel Pontius Pilate flung some bounty at them. 6,685 confirmed cases and 149 dead. And so these Caribbean islands, already dealing with the Rona as best they can, are going to be beset by a fucking transatlantic dust storm, referred to as Godzilla, which is going to make breathing even more difficult. 2020. As Lee points out, look, Ma, no wall. We didn't need to build a wall. All we needed was to get sick with a pandemic and stay sick. Isolation achieved. Hey, and thanks to Rick for jumping in. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to 180 to finish the evening. Thank you, Rick. That's tremendous. As to flights, Steve in New York says, flights are through the roof anyway. I curiously looked up flights to Georgia for Thanksgiving. Normally, they're 350 this far in advance. When I looked the other day, they were $800 plus. I also looked up flights to Ottawa for Christmas, and they were $1,000 US. Normally, they're $300 at the very most and about $150 this far out. Yeah, that's one of those things I've noticed. Remember how in May the value of the spot price of gasoline for, what, June delivery fell to below a dollar below zero. And yet somehow or another, and I know I'm going to get an email, Robert in Australia will tell me again to quit pissing and moaning about the price of gasoline. I get it. But here in almost level West by Cold Trump Jr. Stan, son of a gun, even though the price of the price of a barrel of oil dropped below zero, people had to be paid to take it off of other people's hands on a futures contract. Well, we got a little warm weather. Memorial Day arrived, and son of a gun, suddenly gasoline has shot up to $2.16 a gallon here in Trump Jr. Stan. Despite the prices in those futures. Go figure. Who knew? Steve pointing out, don't you know, Bob, no self-respecting Merkin would want to go see them panty-waist people in Europe. Well, what do they got to teach us? Scott in San Diego, on the other hand, says it's a page out of the What Goes Around Comes Around book. Hundreds of years ago, Native Americans were killed off after being given anthrax-laden blankets by arriving Europeans. No, that was smallpox, and it was the British. All these years later, Europe is a no-go zone for Americans. Well, it's not a no-go zone. No-go zone presumes that we don't want to go there. And, you know, if you tune into Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground, they'll probably tell you, it ain't that they won't let us there. We're just too American to go there, is exceptionalism. Right. As to Vietnam, Jeremy points out, Vietnam locked their country down, period. No one moved. It was 93 when it hit. At the same time, the asshole at 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza was screaming, it'll be gone with the heat. That's good. 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza. Gasoline in Canada is cheaper than it is here, says Steve in New York. 6 months ago, Randy in PA notes, the Philly refinery blew up. The local news replayed the resultant fireball on an endless loop. Well, that probably had something to do with it. And yes, you're absolutely right. Megan points out, do some of the countries that have handled it well have female leaders? Yes. If so, that could be part of the answer. New Zealand comes to mind. Germany. Not sure about Finland and Norway. Damn sure not the UK. Flavio points out that Boris may be in trouble. Christopher Steele, he of the Steele dossier, whose allegations have been largely proven true. Johnson and May ignored claims Russia had likely hold over Trump, ex-spy alleges. This is from secret evidence given to members of parliament who drew up the Russia report. In Mary Oldie. Boris Johnson and Theresa May ignored claims the Kremlin had a likely hold over Donald Trump and may have covertly funded Brexit, the former spy Christopher Steele alleges. He accused the government led by May, in which Johnson was foreign secretary for 2 years, of turning a blind eye to allegations about Trump because they were afraid of offending the U.S. president. Curiously enough, the same sort of testimony was heard today by the lawyers who quit the prosecution of Roger Stone. Under oath, they testified before Gerald Nadler's House Judiciary Committee that, in fact, the DOJ was pushed from above to lighten its sentence recommendation for Roger Stone because of fears that it might offend, well, the tangerine Tiberius. Moreover, there was testimony that nothing like this had ever happened before, where the fear of offending an autocratic dictatorial president had been the motivating force behind a prosecutorial decision. That's pretty stunning when you get right down to it. It was one of Robert Mueller's deputies who gave that testimony. Aaron Zelinsky, who was part of the prosecution of Roger Stone and resigned when he was commanded to seek a lesser prison sentence, presented a statement today and said, "What I saw was the Department of Justice exerting significant pressure on the line prosecutors in the case to obscure the correct sentencing guidelines calculation to which Roger Stone was subject, and to water down, in some cases, outright distort the events that transpired in his trial and the criminal conduct that gave rise to his conviction. Such pressure resulted in the virtually unprecedented decision to override the original sentencing recommendation in his case and to file a new sentencing memorandum that included statements and assertions at odds with the record and contrary to Department of Justice policy. Ultimately, we refused to modify our memorandum to ask for a substantially lower sentence. Again, I was told that the U.S. Attorney's instructions had nothing to do with Mr. Stone, the facts of the case, the law, or department policy. Instead, I was explicitly told that the motivation for changing the sentencing memo was political and because the U.S. Attorney was, quote, afraid of the president." What I heard repeatedly was that Roger Stone was being treated differently from any other defendant because of his relationship to the president. I was told that the acting U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Timothy Shea, was receiving heavy pressure from the highest levels of the Department of Justice to cut Stone a break, and that the U.S. Attorney's sentencing instructions to us were based on political considerations. I was also told that the acting U.S. Attorney was giving Stone such unprecedentedly favorable treatment because he was afraid of the president. I was wrong. He didn't testify today. He will testify tomorrow. This is part of the public statement that he will read into the record. And this goes hand in hand with something that Gerald Nadler said in an interview a couple of days ago. Because there has been talk, and it is not idle talk, about the absolute necessity to impeach Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. In a functioning constitutional republic, that would be a no-brainer. I probably don't have to say that this is a dysfunctional constitutional republic, that we have reached a point of dysfunction that we probably aren't a constitutional republic anymore because we're ignoring the Constitution. But what Jerry Nadler said was pretty profound. He said that it's not that Bolton should not be impeached by the House, rather, that impeachment was a waste of time. A conversation that we had in significant depth with regard to Donald J. Trump. J stands for Justice Department scared to death of him. Because what Nadler said is that it would be a waste of time because the Senate is corrupt. And in terms of Washington speak, that's profound. The Senate is corrupt. Now, to be fair, he did not say every senator is corrupt because, well, we know from the impeachment proceedings that every senator is not corrupt because some senators, a minority, unfortunately, were willing to do their job and voted to convict and remove Donald Trump from office. But every Republican but one in that once august body is corrupt. And I don't make that statement lightly. I say that because every member of that body, every Republican member of that body, with the single exception of one vote by Bishop Willard Romney, had no proper purpose in voting to acquit. Some of them going so far as to say, hell yes, he's guilty, but I'm still going to vote to acquit. Your Chinless Mitch. Your John Cornholio. Your Lindsey Graham. Joni Ernst. Martha McSally. Pat Roberts. Lamar Alexander. Marsha Gedneth Blackburn. Corrupt to the core and utterly at odds with the oath that they took, not to Donald Trump, but to the Constitution, and which they in turn shat upon. Kyle pointing out, you know, I'm starting to believe this Bill Barr guy and those who work for him don't believe in the rule of law. No. They believe in the rule of the exercise of power. Tomorrow, meanwhile, in Walla Walla, Washington, about 5 hours from her home, our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest, women standing will bear witness to a city where a police officer has a large SS tattoo on his arm. Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation reached out to Jude and asked women standing to represent the MRFF at a protest there. The Associated are asking the Walla Walla mayor and chief of police to have, one, the tattoo altered, two, the tattoo removed, three, if neither of the above happens, fire the officer. And if it's a no to all three, then the Military Religious Freedom Foundation will begin litigation. And so Jude continues her work with Women Standing of doing the difficult business of speaking out for peace and decency. Any of you interested in joining her in spirit, are free, Jude notes, to align for 1 hour tomorrow, June the 24th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That would be 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and Pacific Daylight Time, too. That would be 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time. Many people, Jude says, will be present at the protest, including Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, Jewish community, to name just a few. And she says, wherever the boots go, there are many women and men who choose to be aligned at the exact same time wherever they are, so collectively, I am never, ever alone, and therein resides the power of peace. And consider that chain of events for just a moment. This is a cop in Walla Walla, Washington, where the said cop bears on his arm, and the German word for it is the Schutzstaffel. It's the two lightning bolt S's that, for instance, you see in the script of the band Kiss. I don't think they were sharp enough to realize what they were doing at the time. But he's got a Schutzstaffel on one arm. Now, did he have it when they hired him? And these are things that you would want to find out in litigation. Did he have it when they hired him? So when they hired him, did they know they were hiring a Nazi and hired him anyway? Did he get the tattoo after he was hired? Is that when he converted to being a Nazi? Or was he a Nazi all along and then just got it? At any point after he got it, did anyone say anything to him, this Nazi cop? Because one of the most ancient doctrines in the law is that silence is acceptance. So I'm always proud to hearing the work that Jude is doing in furtherance of peace. Because opposing Nazis is, in fact, peace work. Because Nazis, by definition, are never, ever, ever peaceful. Oh, God. Meanwhile, I haven't mentioned it, but this is, of course, Election Day in Kentucky and a few other states. And there were a large number of people, as Dave points out, in line to vote in Louisville, which has the highest concentration of African-American voters in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. 6 o'clock hit, and all those voters were locked out, even though they were already in line. The Charles Booker campaign has filed an injunction demanding anybody in line or in line to park is able to vote. They did eventually open the doors again, but sheriff's deputies stayed in place to keep the parking lot closed. Democracy is a dangerous thing to fascists and authoritarians everywhere. The exercise of the vote is dangerous, as evidenced by generations of oppression and suppression practiced in the Confederate states and border states like Kentucky. This is why we used to have something called preclearance in the Voting Rights Act. But a few years back, old Balls and Strikes Roberts declared from on high on the bench of the Supreme Court of the United States that racism no longer exists. And so struck down the preclearance requirements of the Voting Rights Act, at which point various and sundry states, many of them formerly Confederate, reverted immediately back to doing what they had been doing all along, and that is doing everything in their power to keep people of color from exercising the franchise. And, of course, one of the problems with voting in Kentucky was that there was a bottleneck trying to park. That was no accident. It's been a bad day for ramps and stairs. For the MAGAT administration. Again, it's video, but we can still talk about it on the radio. Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek actually fell going upstairs into Air Force Two. It was worthy of an old Saturday Night Live skit. Back when they were, damn near wounded Ford's reelection campaign by painting him as a klutz. Because, you know, falling downstairs is one thing. It takes some damn doing to fall going upstairs. Ramps and stairs, 2. Trump administration, 0. And by the way, it turns out that Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek has demonstrated a predilection for voting by mail. Yeah. And, you know, for the past 3 years, he's had a very specific address. Namely, the United States Naval Observatory, which is the residence of the vice president. But somehow or another, he manages to keep on voting using the address of the governor's mansion of the state of Indiana, where he doesn't even live. The Vice President of the United States is engaged in, wait for it, voter fraud. And there's all kinds of members of the administration who vote by mail. Kellyanne Conjob, Kaylee McEnany, voted by mail. Ugh. They're ramping up their campaigning in Wisconsin. Not only will COVID Caligula campaign there, but Mike Pencilneck Geek is going too. And when he goes to Wisconsin, he's going to use as many dog whistles as he possibly can. He came there today. Mike Pencilneck Geek did. And he went to Waukesha County. We've heard of them before, right? Hotbed of white wingism and maggotism. Went to Waukesha County to talk about school choice, religious faith, and security. At a rally where I'm sure the COVID will spread some more. Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek said, "Weeks ago, when rioting and looting was overwhelming many of our major cities, Joe Biden sent out a press release. President Donald Trump sent in the National Guard." And I'm sure the maggots in attendance hooted and hollered and I don't know, maybe burned a couple of crosses in celebration of what he just said. "He secured our nation's capital and called on every governor in America to do the same. And we quelled the violence." All this in an attempt to keep the evangelicals firmly in the fold. They are a simple lot. If there's something they can hang their reptile brain hatred on, they're all for it. As to the Nazi tattoo on the cop, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, "Be safe, Jude. Thank you for doing this and not backing down." The police department's response is, "It doesn't actually mean that, and he thought it meant something else." Oh, really, that's the response. Jesus. "Don't laugh," Megan says. "I've fallen going up the stairs before, but I did it by attempting to run too fast up the stairs." Well, I've fallen going up the stairs because I'm an English major. But, you know, I don't think I was being punked by the goddess of irony. This was Mike Pencilneck Geek being punked by the goddess of irony, because he, too, tried to run, and it didn't work out very well. There was a sentencing hearing today in Portland. Again, we know how this guy votes. Jeremy Christian, ironically named by the goddess of irony, murdered people, two people with a knife and critically wounded a third on a Portland MAX train 3 years ago. He'd been already convicted. And so today he was to return to court to face sentencing. Among other things, the families were allowed to testify as to what they thought were right as far as sentencing him. And it didn't end well. No.
"Your mom should have swallowed you. You are a waste of breath. And when you die and go to hell, I hope you rot."
See you there, bitch.
No, hey.
Go back to Tennessee, too.
What do I tell you?
Go back to Tennessee, too.
You can.
We don't want you here. All your race baiting bullshit. You ain't gonna be mayor either, bitch. You ain't gonna be mayor either, bitch. You fucking hoes. You fucking hoes. You fucking hoes.
Tigers never changed their stripes, and now they're just skunks. That's the white supremacist being sentenced and then removed from the courtroom. You people have ruined Portland. You people. Remember, Portland, Oregon, that is, was the only state ever to enter the Union with a statute on the books saying black people were not allowed to live there. Ain't just Alabama and Mississippi, y'all. Speaking of which, a little bit of an update out of New Mexico. You remember the shooting? Of a week or so ago. Well, in that altercation, in that confrontation in Albuquerque over a statue of a Spanish genocidal maniac conquistador. Well, the cops engaged in chemical warfare against the protesters to get rid of them, and then when the white supremacist maggot opened fire, well, there were, you know, no witnesses. And so, writing for the Albuquerque Journal, Edmundo Carrillo reported yesterday, Second Judicial District Judge Charles Brown released Stephen Ray Baca, 31, Monday morning. Brown said he believed Baca posed a danger to the community, but also said that there were conditions of release that could keep the community safe. Baca is required to report to pretrial services, cannot possess firearms, and cannot go to any protests while the charges are pending. I'm going to find that the defendant may be a danger to the community, Judge Brown said. However, the state completely fails on the second prong of the analysis as to whether or not there are any conditions which would reasonably protect the community. He's charged with one count of aggravated battery because he grabbed a woman and threw her to the ground at a protest. There are two counts of misdemeanor battery against him, and one misdemeanor count of unlawful carrying of a deadly weapon. The charge against, get this, he actually shot somebody with his freedom protector. He shot 39-year-old Scott Williams. But the prosecuting attorney dropped the charge, and before you damn the prosecuting attorney, understand the why of it. District Attorney Raul Torres was dismayed at the way the Albuquerque Police Department handled the investigation. A spokesman for the Albuquerque DA's office said today Judge Charles Brown released Stephen Baca back into the community despite the fact that his unlawful possession of a loaded firearm and his violent assaults on three women were all captured on video. Despite ruling that Baca was a danger to the community, Judge Brown nevertheless ruled that he could be supervised in the community. We continue to believe that Baca is a threat to public safety and reserve the right to revisit the possibility of his detention as new witnesses and evidence become available in this ongoing investigation, you know, if they can find him. Jesus. Our buddy Dr. John clued me in on that story. I suggested that someone needs to get a petition, a change.org petition going out there, petitioning that the official name of the state of New Mexico be changed to New Mississippi. Because that's straight out of, say, 1964, 1965, Mississippi. And that there would be a certain advantage in changing the name of the state to New Mississippi, because if you changed it to New Alabama or New Tennessee or New Georgia, you'd have to change the state abbreviation. And doing that with the United States Postal Service is no simple matter. But if you change the name of the state to New Mississippi, you don't have to change the state abbreviation, and you wind up with something that is effectively accurate. And people could do covers of Nina Simone's powerful anthem, Mississippi Goddamn, and you'd only have to add one note and one word, New Mississippi Goddamn. Yeah. Couple of notes to wrap things up. As far as the cop in Walla Walla is concerned, SS, so it means something else? Did they say what that something else was? That's rhetorical. Of course they didn't. Jude pointing out the police officer, because of course, is a former Marine sniper. So yes, Jude points out, the police department knew of his SS tattoo. Hey, here's a fun one. How do you manage to stay in the United States Marine Corps and leave with an honorable discharge, which you'd kind of have to become a cop, and have an SS tattoo? Tis a puzzlement. As to Albuquerque, Jeremy points out, Bob, this trash fired 4 or 5 shots hitting the other man in the gut. I hope his ass gets all that's coming his way. Well, hopefully, the DA's department will be able to charge him, but they're going to have to develop the evidence by themselves because the cops in Albuquerque effectively screwed the pooch on the investigation so as to, well, protect him. Because, as Dr. John pointed out, there's a history in Albuquerque of the Albuquerque PD working hand-in-glove with white supremacist, neo-Nazi, so-called white nationalist organizations. Jesus. Last word goes to Kyle. Jesus Christ, Oregon, the westernmost Confederate state. I really don't think people realize how awful it is. I used to have a friend who lived near Portland, and yeah, the stuff she would tell me happened there might as well have been right out of the Confederacy. Now I'm going to get hate mail from the Oregon contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation. And so we come to the end of the program. A 3-hour filibobster, no less. Epic, I suppose. And I thank you all for joining in, for your comments and your thoughts. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thank you very kindly indeed. Whether you're a subscriber via PayPal, via Patreon, or an a la carte contributor during the program or on the podcast or some combination of the above, thank you very kindly indeed. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And for the love of all that's holy, if you see someone wearing a Trump hat or a Trump T-shirt or got a Trump bumper sticker or a Trump flag or just grunting and mumbling Trump, and they're coming toward you, avoid them like the plague, because they are. And by the way, coming your way in about an hour, a brand new, fresh edition of the Mike Malloy Show, right here on the HeadOn.live stream. Hope you'll tune in. Prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. Later. Stay safe.